Oh, doesn't it feel good to laugh, folks? Maybe even cry a little bit when you're laughing, right? Hey, if you take out your sermon notes insert and grab a pen or a pencil, and take this, like Deanna said, take this home with your prayer concerns and your prayer chair. That would be great as you study God's Word during the week and keep these folks in this church and abroad in your prayers. Well, today, we're just a reminder, because last week we took a little break. I'm having trouble getting focused now. I'm still thinking about those bulletin bloopers. But anyway, last week we took a break from Memorial Day, and this week we're going to get back to our teaching series that began with your questions on Easter. Remember, you wanted to ask, many of you at least, wanted to ask questions to either the church or a pastor or to God, and I've formed this teaching series, Have You Ever Wandered Around Those Questions? And today, we want to get to the subject of salvation, and is Christ the only way? So let's get started. I don't know if you have ever noticed, but when society tries to answer the question of world religions, it always seems to answer the question in the easiest form, at least on the surface. There are four ways that I've heard it described. Number one, all religions are pointing to the same thing. Now, if we reflect upon this for a moment, we find that we're really saying very different things. Now, we're trying to answer the same questions, don't get me wrong. The ultimate reality, why we exist, who is God, but the answers that we come up with are very, very different. For instance, most forms of Buddhism reject the idea of God altogether. Hindus believe there may be as many as 33 million gods. And Christianity, Judaism, and Islam say that there is one God. Islam says that God couldn't come to earth in the form of a human to live among us. It would be against God's very nature, they claim. But this is the very central assertion of the Christian faith upon which everything else we believe stands. We believe that God did just that. We're saying very different things. Number two, another saying is that all religions are relative. What's true for you may not be true for me. Have you heard that before? And vice versa. You know, this works well for certain kinds of truth. If I would hold up this a broccoli here and say, you know what, this broccoli is delicious. I didn't even get to the punch line yet. Sorry, broccoli punish, you know. But anyway, some of you might say, well, Eric, that broccoli may be delicious to you, but it's not very good to me, right? I know most of our kids, many of our kids at least, probably think that. So, you know, that is called subjective truth. And faith or religions are looking for objective truth. All of us, Christians, Jews, Muslims, we are all saying that this is what the world is really like. This is what God is really like. This is reality. It is like if we were holding up that broccoli I mentioned earlier and say it is green, and you would say, well, that may be true for you, but it's not true for me. We're all looking at it, and we know that it's green, right? Objective truth is what religions are looking for. So religions are definitely not relative. A third way that society looks at religions is if it works for someone, then it's okay. You know, that's the pragmatist. We like that, don't we? It's a very practical statement. If it works for you, great. Just stay out of my world, I'll stay out of yours, right? No confrontation that way. We like pragmatic things. We like it to work. Finally, a statement that I have probably heard most is no religion can be right, more right than any other. All religions are equally valid. Now, let's think about this for a minute. If you are studying intellectually the various kinds of faiths, and they are making certain truth claims, and they are mutually exclusive. You understand what I mean by that? They are mutually exclusive. Is it possible that they are all true and correct?